kids far betterment. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. First of all, I want to thank all of my supporters, everybody who's downloaded, who's subscribed, who's listened, and who follows us on social media. Thank you guys so very much for your support. It means everything to me, truly. And a special thank you to those of you who've taken the time out of your day to give us a 5-star rating. I cannot tell you how much it means to me that you would go out of your way to give us a 5-star rating and let everybody know that you enjoy and appreciate what we're doing here on Far Betterment. So thank you for that. If you haven't done so already, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can find us on your favorite podcasting platform by searching for Far Betterment. In this week's episode, you're going to be hearing part 2 of my chat with Erica Peterson. If you haven't listened to part 1 yet, it's worth a listen, so I suggest you go and check it out. You can download it on your favorite podcasting platform. For those of you that are caught up, or if you just want to skip part 1, here is part 2 of Erica Peterson for Far Betterment. So, okay, like, what took you to LA then? Like, why did you, I know you said you needed a change and you weren't making, like, good decisions in Ohio, like, but why LA of all places?
Well, I knew people that lived here.
Okay. All right.
And if we're being honest, I was very in love with a guy that I convinced to be my boyfriend.
Okay. Okay.
We were together for 13 years. So, yeah, I mean, I wanted to move. I wanted to leave Ohio. I knew that. Originally, when I was, like, in high school, I thought it would be New York City, but as I got older, I was like, I don't know if that's New York anymore. It didn't feel right. So I'd been to L.A. to visit, and it seemed to be not necessarily the path of least resistance, but it seemed to be the obvious answer for me because, like I said, I had friends here. Little boy, mm-hmm. He was here, but I could stay with them for a month while I found a house. American Apparel headquarters was here, so it was really, I was already an assistant manager at in Ohio, like I was a stakeholder or whatever. So it was really easy to be like, there's a place for me in LA, and they did because they had 7 stores within, you know, a relatively small area, and they always need people. So it was like, yeah, I'll do that. Great. And if it doesn't, and like all of the decisions I make, it was like, if it doesn't work out, I don't have to stay there. I can move back. I can move somewhere else. So, yeah, that was it. I mean, also the weather.
Well, yeah, I guess that's pretty,
that's a
nice trade-off. Yeah. It's been a while since I've been to LA, but yeah, the weather's great. Do you think, so now get back to seriousness, think that your perspective's changed since being in LA, or do you kind of think that instead of being molded by where you live, you kind of mold things to who you are, if that makes sense?
I think in LA, because it's so expensive, mm-hmm. and it is the way that it is, I think it's both, it can go one of two ways. You can find yourself or you can lose yourself, I guess. Sound like, you know, I guess, sorry, found out about it.
Not at all.
But I feel like there have been times, well, I'm not a person that's like, I'm not here, like the whole like networking and whatever, like that part, like the biz part of LA and all the negative stereotypes and we hear like, oh, people in LA are this way and like, you know, the glitz and the glamour and like having to look a certain way and, you know, lots of plastic surgery, that thing's not for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't come here looking for that. And I'm not easily swayed by other people's opinions in that way. But like, I'm kind of like, yeah, you like me or you don't, take me or leave me. Like, I'm not trying to fit in with things. So that part of it wasn't ever like, I didn't lose myself to that. And I know people that have or have been, you know, become kind of lost in that thing. But that wasn't it for me. And for me, no. It was more like in the past year, and I guess several times along the way, you know, because I quit my job and I went to culinary school. Oh my God, when you asked me about jobs, I totally forgot that I worked as a pastry chef.
Yeah, actually, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So that's how I forgot about that. I was like, I know I'm forgetting something. Oh, it's the fact that I went to culinary school and worked as a pastry chef. I'm literally thousands of dollars in debt and still paying on it from that. And I just kind of forgot. Whoops.
But like very good at it, weren't
anyway,
you? Like it was a major part of your life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, yes, I should have talked about
it. I know. I have some thoughts on that.
But hey, we're winging it here.
I think it's like, we're winging it. Yeah,
so no worries. We're winging it.
I've had to kind of find my way a couple different times. And like not necessarily like reinventing myself, but a little bit of just reinventing who I am and kind of finding out like, okay, what am I doing, I guess, at the moment? And like, who are... In the past year specifically, I've been more intentional with like finding my people and finding people that inspire me, you know, creatively or on a friendship level. I don't know, whatever. I've just been people that get me and people that don't want me to be something different and people that like make me want to be better. You know, finding my people and what serves me in this life and... that, I mean, I think you can do that anywhere, but LA makes it really easy because a lot of us move here because we want more, because we want better, because there's something, there's creative stuff that's easier to do in LA and it's more acceptable to quit your day job and go, I'm going to draw dogs for a living. And it's like, yeah, well you would, you know, like I feel like you can do that. You really can do that kind of thing anywhere, but LA just makes it really easy because if you're around the ratio of creative people, you know, whether it's artists, musicians, you know, writers, whatever, that ratio is higher here just because this is where a lot of entertainment gets made in this headquarters. So it's easier to find those people here for me. But again, you can find us anywhere. I have friends all over the country or I guess even the world that are, you know, my people and are like that too. But anyway, forget what we were talking about.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, I know.
How unfocused. Yeah. Culinary school.
That was the thing that I think threw us off right there was culinary school.
I know. I forgot. It felt like a major like subsection of my life. Good grief.
I guess the thing I find interesting is that you really did move to LA with like this whole different, like there's a completely different reason for it. Like other people move there because they want to be an actress or an actor or they want to.
Yeah. I want to get famous or I want to make music, whatever, which is like, and I'm like, I don't know.
You're just like, I'm going to just figure it out.
I guess I could make it work.
If that's how I'm going to survive, like, then I guess I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't wrong. I made it work. I still live here.
Maybe that was an advantage, though.
Determination.
But, like, maybe that was your advantage, is that you didn't go there with that expectation, and so you weren't disappointed. You didn't have expectations. Like, you kind of just wanted to move there, and then you made it work.
Yeah, I wanted to see what happened.
I get the sense from you, though.
You're an educated decision.
I get the sense from you that you could probably make it work, like, anywhere, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I think about that all the time. There's, like, packing up. Like, what if I just moved to Paris? I could make it work. I don't speak the language, but, you know, I've taken enough. I'll figure it out.
I believe that. Like, I don't really know you.
I've tried to do that, too. I've actually tried to do that. Like, I tried to go to culinary school in Paris, and I was like, I'll make it work.
Yeah.
You know, my boyfriend at the time was like, I mean, if you want to, like, like, he was a little bit perplexed by it, but supportive, but also like, what the fuck? So, but he, you know, he thrives on stability. So that was, I was always kind of a wild card.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
It's hard being a wild card, you know? Like, it can
be. Yeah, but is there any other way? No, there's plenty of other ways.
I mean, sure.
You don't have to be a nightmare all the time.
Sure. There are other ways, but I think not for me. And
right.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't, stability, like,
kills
me.
The thing that's so funny to me is, like, when you are a certain way and you recognize that about yourself, thinking about being any other way is, like, perplexing. Like, why would you want to just be that way? Even, like, my logical brain understands it, but my mm-hmm. emotional brain is like, but why? Oh,
yes.
God.
Yeah,
having
that's
a
such
five
a good way
year
to put
plan,
it.
Which is like, that's my best friend. My best friend growing up, our families were super close, and she was such a planner, and she knew what she was going to do a lot. And she, you know, she's worked at jobs for like, she worked somewhere for like 12 years or something. She's just so stable, and she's like, loves her routine, whatever. And I'm like, I was like, the opposite. So it was always like, on some levels, like perplexing and maddening to her. And it was so funny because we clapped so much, but she's like a sister to me. So we'll just, you know, we're very honest with each other, but yeah. It's really funny because we're so different, but still like really close. And it's just funny to watch her make these like logical and educated decisions and like really think them through. She's very grounded. And to me, like, I don't know. I'm going to see what happens when I move to LA. Bye. I'm leaving in 2 weeks. Here's all my furniture. Bye.
See like, ya.
You know, it's funny for her to see me and go, oh my God, what? And then me to see her and go, oh my God, I can't imagine,
yeah.
You know, I can't imagine having knowing what my plan will be in 5 years. Like my college roommate was like that too. The day I met her, she was like, I'm going to have 4 children. I'm going to live in Florida. I'm going to marry my boyfriend right now. And I'm going to major in English and minor in Spanish. So it'll be easier to get a job. And I was like, okay. Yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to major in here.
Like, I'm not even sure I'm going to graduate.
Yeah, and then, like, she did that, which is the craziest thing. Yeah, and I didn't. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But she, like, did that. And yeah. For her, there's, like, no other way. She's so calculated and so planned out, and she knew. And then for me, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. That's, like, exciting to me, though.
It'd be like. Yeah, totally.
Like for me personally, like personally in my life, like that is like the way to live. Like I have to live that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
like that.
I totally get it.
Though. I get you and you get me and like, yeah.
Well, that's why I was kind of saying like it's really like rare for me to be able to talk about this stuff with somebody and they understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Usually I'm talking about this stuff and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you want to live that way? Aren't you worried about? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yep.
It's funny. Even my parents, when I told them that I was like going to quit my job and do like freelance stuff and I was there's just like more out there. They were like, yeah, that's for you. That's your path. That
sounds like
definitely. Yeah. Like everybody, but that's what everybody said. They were like, yeah, that's a very you thing to do. That's you. And it was like, it's like reassuring to hear that because, you know, people that know you really well are like, you know, I think my dad was like, yeah, anybody else, I'd kind of be like, what? And I'm like, yeah, no, that's, you got it. You, absolutely, that's what you should do. You know,
it's cool.
Walk away from your job with the stability and the,
yeah. No, I mean, it's
benefits, but
I think, I don't know, I guess I would never question like why you did that because I would totally do it too. But it's cool that the people who would question it, like kind of just have faith in you like that. You know, they kind of just like, oh, you'll make it work.
Yeah.
You always do.
It was really reassuring and made me feel like I said, like the past year has been like, not great for me in terms of like, I don't know, when you kind of like come to when you're at that kind of a crossroads where like I was so miserable in my job and it affected all of my other relationships and, you know, with my friends and my family and like romantically. And I, you know, I in the back of my brain the whole time, I knew what I had to do in order to make myself happy. But, and not to say I'm fully there now, but I definitely am like, when I quit my job and when, you know, I started reevaluating everything and like, you know, I realized that my ex and I were just day to day was great, but on the larger scale we were both unhappy and there were fundamental things about each other that was like, well, then we can, I think we did it great. but I think we both deserve to be happier. And like making those decisions along the way was like a nightmare. And I cried in my car every single day, but realizing those things and putting in the work to like, okay, figure out how to be me and be happier. And then having people in my life be like, yes. And like affirmative of that felt really good. Like it's not been great. But like hearing those little like encouraging things and like, yes, no, this is what you're doing better. You're becoming more you.
Yeah.
And having those people support me like felt really good. So even like my ex were on great terms, like, you know, and he's like, yeah, this is, you're doing you. You're, you know, it was nice to feel like other people see in me what I see in me.
I think that's pretty amazing. And really, I admire that quite a bit. Just like, and I don't know, that's something I find, like growth to me is such an admirable thing to recognize, I guess.
Thank you.
No, I mean, a lot of people kind of, what we talked about earlier, like being stagnant. And it seems like you're really always
reaching. Well, because it's easier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The path of least resistance and doing the same thing is so much easier. Like, my life isn't bad. I could stay in my job. I could stay in my relationship. I could stay, you know, living somewhere that, like, at the time, I was, like, okay with it, but I didn't necessarily want to live in L.A. Like, I do now because my job situation changed and I'm, like, you know, happier.
Yeah.
I'm happy to live here now.
Just loving it.
But at the time,
yeah.
I was like, I don't need to stay here. It was like just sort of like mediocre about everything, which like for me is like feeling the worst. But it was like, it's really like mediocre. It's fine. But it's like, I would see people at my job and we had like a retirement party for somebody. And I was like, yeah, they worked there for 30 years. And I'm like, oh my God, I would die. Like I would get in my car and drive to work and be like, well, what is it? 30 more years of this? And then just like feel this sinking feeling like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up 30 more years of the same thing. And people do it. And it's like, this is horrifying to me. And I think for some people that feels really good because it's routine, it's stability. It's knowing, you know, you have this in your 401k so you can retire when you're 60 and can't do anything and whatever.
Yes.
Like we talked about.
Yeah, no,
but
exactly.
Some people, they really like that. But I'm like, I will just wing it. I will work until I die if I have to. That's fine. But I will not be working here. Like, I always end up at jobs doing this thing where like I'll start a job and they'll be like, yeah, you know, our plans for the next year or so are like this, this, and this, and you'll eventually be doing this. And in my head, I'm like, no, I won't be here.
I love that. That's so funny.
I was interviewing for a job before and they're like, yeah, in 6 months. And I was like, I won't be here.
You're like, this is just a placeholder.
Yeah, we're going to have you running this. And externally, I was like, yeah, of course, I would love to run the market. And I'm like, I got to get out before that happens.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like, that's actually exactly, I won't think that exact thing, but in my head, I'm like, yeah, once I master this, I'm probably gone. Like, once I feel like I can do it with my eyes closed, I'm out of here. Sorry.
Yeah, then I checked out. Then I'm like, yeah, it's not interesting anymore. And it was like, oh my God. And the thing is, my last job, because I keep referencing it, but it was so immediate. And it was like, it's such a good representation of how I've always been. But even though, like, I mean, Suicide Girls was like that too. I mean, I left for other reasons, but it was actually like maxed out there.
Yeah. Okay.
And they'd be like, yeah. So in like, you know, a year, this is our plan. I'm like, oh my goodness. That's cool. That's great. Plan it. And I'll help you, but I'm going to check out.
You're like, I won't be here for that.
I won't be here. It's funny, like literally interviewing. And it reminds me of one of my friends was telling me when she was like 15, she got a job at the gas station. And like the woman training her was showing her around. And it was like, yeah, so later today. And she goes, I'm not going to be here. And she like left at lunch.
No call. She was like, bye.
It was a gas station. I was 15. It's not going to affect my resume.
Yeah, good point.
But I was like, that's me. Like, I was like, yeah, no, I get it. So, you know, eventually we'll have this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be here.
You might have this, but I won't. Because I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, I won't be here.
That's hilarious.
So shitty. I'm like the worst employee.
I mean, but that's the thing is like, there's nothing else in your life, right, for the most part, that you would give in that much than a job. Like, because a job's paying you. So, like, you'll put up with a lot more shit at a job. I think it almost kind of, and I'm not trying to sound, like, cocky here, but it almost kind of takes a lot of courage to not put up with that shit and not care about money so much that you can just, like, up and leave. That sounds really
But I mean, I've always been like, I don't know. Like, well, like you, money is not a big motivator for me. And I'm like, yes, I know I need money to live, but like, there are other ways to make money than going to my crappy job. Like, when I was a pastry chef, the restaurant that I worked at, where I was eating, like, a pastry chef, I got paid $12 an hour. So just above minimum wage. The hours were stupid because in all kitchens, they're stupid. They're, you know, you're working 12-hour days, you're on your feet. There's just rampant misogyny. And oh, my God, it's the worst. Kitchens are the absolute worst. One of the managers told me to my face that I would never be as valuable as the line cooks because I was a woman. That's it.
Oh, no other
explanation, just because I was a woman. So, and you face that, and it's like, it's just kind of built into the culture, and it's like, I have a really thick skin. I don't give a fuck. You can say whatever to me, and I'll just let it roll off. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's on you.
Yeah.
I don't care. But it's like, over time, it will get to you, especially, you know, when they'll come back to like, Erica, make a sexy face. And I was like, ah, fuck you.
I mean, that's the proper reaction, I think.
Every day becomes,
that's the correct reaction.
that every day becomes overwhelming. And then it just, like, one, like, I knew I wanted to leave. I knew I was like, I don't want to work like this. And I knew that, our paychecks bounced. That was the thing. Our paychecks were always late. And I knew that I wanted to leave again because I was like, you know what? I would never let a man or somebody that I was in a relationship with or somebody that I was friends with or a family member, never let them treat me like this. Mm-hmm. What's different? Because they pay me? I can get paid by anybody.
Yeah.
I can get paid somewhere else. I can walk into Walmart and get a job. I can go to Starbucks and get a job. I don't have to, like, it's not worth compromising that to let somebody treat me like crap and, you know, make me feel shitty. And that was part of why, you know, I left Suicide Girls too. I had, like, kind of a falling out with the owners where it was like, I would never let somebody talk to me that way. I would never let my boyfriend talk to me that way. Yeah. Why would I let a boss talk to me that way and tell me, use the words, you're too fucking stupid to work for me, when I know I'm not. And I know what I did wasn't wrong. And then again, it was the same way with this other job, like the job that I just left, where I was like, compromise myself and my values and feel shitty about myself every single day. And it's like, I was fine at that job, but I wasn't good at it. And I also didn't care. So it didn't really motivate me to be the employee of the month or anything. So, like, if you think, oh, I'm kind of shitty at it. So, like, all that adds up to, like, me not being, I wasn't a super great employee at the end. So I was like, I don't care. And then I was like, yeah, why would I stay here if, why would I let somebody treat me that way?
Yeah.
And you're right. Why does money have to be tied there? And I think for a lot of people, they can put up with it because of that.
Yeah.
And I think certainly the more money you make, it definitely affects that. But it's also like, when I was HR, I had an employee that was like, she was working crazy hours. And I was like, first of all, this isn't legal. Second of all, care less. The company doesn't give a shit about you. But like, if you don't show up tomorrow, they'll find somebody else. They're not going to be, like, banging on your door, like, oh, we can't work without you. And I was like, man, they don't care. The company will never put you first. And that's such that's probably the one way I'm, like, pessimistic. And I'm like, a company doesn't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
They can find somebody else to do your job. Yes, maybe it won't be as good. But, like, a company doesn't care about you. There's a million people that need jobs. You go, it's like, oh crap, I really miss them. Well, put up that job listing. We got to get someone. Like, they'll never put you first. If they're going to make a decision between what's best for the company or what's best for you, guess what? It will never be you.
No.
Like, so that affects, like, how much I care about stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, yeah, she'll have to do a good job. And then, you know, if you want to leave, fuck them.
Absolutely.
I'm never going to get at work again, by the way. If anybody listens to that, I'm like, oh.
I'll post your resume along with this. With this podcast, I'll go ahead and put up your resume, and
I know.
We'll see if we can find you something.
Put it in my cover letter. If you want to know how I feel about work, it's that you don't give two shits about me. See you Monday. I also won't be there for longer than 3 months, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to make it.
Hire me. Pay me.
That's so funny. So that's interesting, actually. Like, I wasn't really going to talk about Suicide Girls because I know, like, well, you already mentioned, like, you get asked these questions all the time. And I know that's probably, like, a huge part of your life. But then you kind of brought up...
I just don't think it's the most interesting thing about me, and people want to know. And I'm like, why? Google it. I guess I
do
a lot of other stuff that is far more interesting. Yeah. I mean, if we...
No, I agree with you.
But if people seem really want to know...
Well, I think it's probably... probably the thing. Well, when we talked about this a little bit, was that it's kind of like this club, like this sisterhood that like everyone's looking at from the outside, and you like infiltrated that. So I think maybe that's where the curiosity is. But other than that, like I guess the thing that you brought up that was kind of interesting to me was I would have thought the misogyny and stuff would be coming from, and I'm not trying to like get controversial here or anything. So I hope this doesn't turn into one of those things, but I would have thought the misogyny would be like 100% on the fan side. Like, I would have thought you would be getting like virtual catcalls nonstop, and I'm sure you probably did.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting to me.
Because it feels the people that choose to do Suicide Girls and, like, you know, take, let's be honest, it's nude photos. It's burlesque, it's tasteful, whatever, but it is nude photos. The people that tend to do that have a lot of confidence, and it's empowering for them in a way. Like, when I was the model coordinator, if I would go to a shoot and be working with someone and they said they didn't want to do it, I was like, don't.
Yeah.
There was a girl who, and I still talk to her today, she was like, she was flying in from out of town, and she was like, I got divorced, like, I can't get on the plane. And I was like, don't. If you don't feel it, don't do it. I don't want to make you do something you don't want to do. And my boss, oh my God, my boss got so mad. She was like, get her on the plane, just get her here. And I'm like, she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
She don't want to do it. Let her choose what's right for her. Yeah, she's a hot girl. You know what? It doesn't matter. She doesn't want to do it, then it's not for her. And that's fine. So it was like, but for the people that do choose to do it, that want to, a lot of times it's really empowering, and then you feel good. And then it's like, it's almost everybody that works in the office, except for Sean, who's the, you know, owner, and everybody else, it was all women. There were a couple tech guys that were dudes, and they were super cool and chill and feminist, and like, you know, they loved it too. And actually a lot of people that I've met through it that are men, we're interested because it's not like porn where you're just looking at something. It was like the appeal of it when it started, and when I worked there, which is the early 2000s, was that all these girls had personalities and you could get to know them, and they would block and they would interact with you on the boards and stuff. So that was the thing that a lot of the members liked about it. And then, you know, they started taking away some social features of the site, and then it became more like just looking at hot girl titties and whatever, which is like, yeah, that's fine too, whatever. But that was the appeal of it, was that a lot of guys would find, you know, they would get to talk to girls that they also got to meet. But that was the appeal, some of the attraction appeal as well.
Oh, is there?
So we had personalities.
I didn't realize there was like actual interaction between the customers.
Oh hell yeah! No, there were like, there were groups, there were like the boards were public, and then there were like groups and then private groups, and you could, you know, go into like the Simpsons group and talk about stuff. You'd go into the tattoo group and talk to people about tattoos and stuff. Yeah, and it was really like, I met some of my very best friends in the whole entire world on that, who were both Suicide Girls, who were just members. There were a lot of women that were members.
It was great. Like, it seems like it was just this gigantic, like, sisterhood. Like, that's how I knew of it. Like, first of all, you know, I was a teenager. I'm a guy. I'm an adult. Like, so, of course, I knew about it. But in the sense that, like, I guess I didn't realize it was so involved, you know, like I didn't realize it was this.
Yeah. And especially like the height, I think it's different now. I don't know. I haven't been on the site in like, like 7 or 8 years, maybe. It's been a long time. But it's, I know they were always trying to take away features of it because they were like, people don't need to chat. And it's definitely become more...
pictorials and stuff.
I don't know what it's become. Yeah, I guess so. But it was... Yeah, like the groups and stuff were really cool. Like you could get to know people. And like I said, I met my best friends. I went to... In 2016, I went to my friend's wedding. And there were 6 of us. Then we had all met in groups on Suicide Girls in... 2006 and started our own email chain, and we talked every single day, and we had we all met in person for the first time.
Oh wow.
In 2016, 10 years later at her wedding.
Cool.
And like we had all kind of met one off, you know, when somebody was in town or whatever, you'd meet up with them.
Okay.
But it was all an online relationship with, you know, there were 6 of us and it was great. And I still maintain those friendships to this day. We still talk every day. You know, in 2020. So it was a really cool thing. And, you know, my best friend who lives in Connecticut, like I met her through the site too. And we started hanging out all the time. And I'm like, she's like my soulmate. She's like my person. She gets me. We're so different, but she gets me and I get her, and there's nothing I wouldn't tell her, you know, and we talk every day. Like she's like my person, and it's cool to have made those friendships in such a weird way that wasn't like a lot of people meet those kind of people in college or whatever. And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to anybody I went to college with. Those weren't my people. That wasn't my thing. But meeting and kind of once I started Suicide Girls, that was actually that kind of aligned with my move to LA, where I realized I was like, oh, there's people out there that are like me that are kind of like, I don't consider myself a misfit, but or like a black sheep or whatever, but I do feel different than other people. I feel like the way that, as we've talked about, I feel like the way that I operate is different. The things that I value can be different. And growing up in such a homogenous kind of city, which isn't a bad thing, but it's harder to find your people. I was like, this move to LA seems right for me because I can find more people like that. Like I found them on Suicide Girls, you know, and there are more people like me and I can find my people.
Yeah.
I guess.
Do you find yourself like, I'm very selective about who I let in my circle, so to speak. And do you find yourself to be like really selective, or you kind of know going in, you know, if you're going to ever speak to this person again, or?
I don't want to say selective because I'm not like my first impressions are, I can usually, I don't know. I think I said it to you when you messaged me, like, oh, you wrote back. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes like something will stand out to me and I'll like message that person back. Cause I'll get stuff and I'm like, I don't answer cause I'm a jerk, but like, I don't know.
Well, no, I don't think that makes you a jerk. I mean, like you probably get,
I don't answer everything. Cause I'm just like, I don't want to get like, I'll just spend all day chatting on Instagram, which is what I do. But like, I do that anyway. But what I'm trying to say, I don't think selective, but like once I start to get to know someone, I can usually figure out if I want to continue the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
No, but like if I have something in common with somebody or if they get me really.
Yeah.
Like if you, because there's people that get you and there's people that don't, and there's people that like maybe don't get you, but like you can be cool and you can like learn but sometimes you just like don't mesh with somebody and like that's fine, but I'm not gonna try to further that relationship. Like that won't be on me to like I don't know. I feel so shitty saying
but
like I don't know.
I'm actually, I think I'm probably a shittier person because I'm like I'm really careful about who I let in. Like I'm very, very careful. Like I'm really selective, and usually I can kind of tell, and maybe that's just coming from like how I grew up or whatever, but I'm very like careful. I mean, I have, my friends are all from
very guarded
sixth grade. So, you know, and as an adult, it's really even harder for me to let people in because I've got, you know, kids to think of who I have to protect also now and things like that. So, I'm really careful. And when I meet somebody that I kind of like click with or whatever, I'm like a wide open book at that point. And that's off-putting. Yeah.
It's the stepbrothers. Did we just become best friends?
Exactly. And I think I actually said that to you.
Yeah, no, you did.
Embarrassingly, yeah. That's exactly
I get that. And there's people that I've met, some of my closest friends, where it's like after one conversation, I'm like I think it was, oh my God, I've known her for like 10 years now. I met like a friend of mine. She was like assisting somebody that I was working for, and she just started, she came in, we started chatting, and like 2 minutes in, I was like, are we best friends? Can we be best friends? Like, you and me, we get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're still friends. Like, she didn't even live here anymore, and we're still friends. But like, I'll meet people like that, or like, you know, and it's so, I love those kinds of friendships because it immediately feels so easy. And so, like, you get me. I don't have to explain, oh, well, I did this because this, whatever. I don't have to, you know.
Oh, no, I always
have to defend myself or justify myself. Because there's something that connects on another level.
Yeah.
You know?
I
love that. Those are, you feel seen and you feel understood and you feel so comfortable. And like, I'll open up to anybody. I'll overshare, like, is nobody's business. But,
those kinds of
friendships in particular are so, like, the best. I don't know. This is the best.
I am the number one overshare that you'll ever meet. I promise you.
Same. I'll tell anybody anything, and it's like, I'm like, I should stop, but I don't know. If you're not being honest, then what's the point?
I guess, but I mean, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm still questioning that in my life. You know, like where's my filter? Should I have a filter here? Am I like, I don't know. You know, like, it's hard to...
I don't know. I'm kind of filterless, and it can come across like I've said some hurtful things to people that I didn't think would be hurtful, and they just flew out of my mouth, and I've hurt some feelings. Those things I have regrets about. Those things I wish I would have a filter, but for the most part, I'm like, this is who I am, and you can take it or leave it.
Oh, I'm like instant panic. I'm instant panic. If I say something that I regret, I'm like, oh my God, go fix it. You have to fix it. If you don't fix it, this is going to be the worst thing in the world. Like, that's what runs through my head. So I instantly, and then I start saying like the wrong things. And I'm like, now you have to fix that. Yeah. Like, I'm like, now you got to fix that with something else. And then you're going to say another wrong thing. You got to fix all three of these things now. And then it just,
oh my God,
it's out of control. So yeah. I'm the kind of person that I think, if you've known me my whole life, like, you get it. You get who I am, and you kind of like...
Right.
Yeah. But if you've met me for the first time, I'm either way too much, or we're so different that we're never going to get along, you know?
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
I'm still trying to figure that out. But through the podcast, like, it's really kind of... I don't know. It's...
Yeah. But that's cool, though, because I think it's important to keep learning and growing. And I met a friend of mine a couple of years ago, and she's very interested. She's the opposite of me in every way that could ever be opposite. But, like, she's very introverted, and she's very thoughtful, and she's very... I don't know. She's the opposite of me in every way. Mm-hmm. She's very smart, very educated, but because she's so introverted, she really takes her time to get to know people and takes her time to open up to them. And she's always looking into, why do people act the way that they do? What is their motive? Why do they feel this way? Why does this certain event trigger them to act a certain way?
Yeah.
And what are their, you know, are they projecting something on the situation, and why? What caused them to be like this? And it's so, getting to know her, And you know, the group of friends that I knew through her was so, it really affected me in a way that I didn't think that it would from like an online group of people who had like one thing, one common interest. Mm-hmm. And getting to know her was so, I had never met anybody like her that affected me in such an interesting way. And it made me start to evaluate more and become more compassionate and, you know, try to look at things like she did.
Yeah.
And, I forget what we were just talking about that led to this, but yeah, that was really influential for me in learning to, I guess, be more compassionate. But what were we talking about? Because I did have a point. I could make it if I wanted to, if I remember.
Well, I guess we kind of started out like talking about being selective, and then I think I went on this tangent about how selective I am, and yeah,
I don't know how it got here.
Something happened in between, and then we ended up here. but I think I understand. Yeah. Like I like that. I wish I had more of that, where I was like a more observant. Like I feel like I am observant, but I also feel like I'm so like I have to say things out loud. Yeah. You know, I have to just get it in the open.
Right. No, I understand.
I wish I was more like your friend. I think that's a great way to kind of be careful and get to know people.
She's it's really interesting, and like, again, it goes back to, like, it takes all kinds. Like, I can't imagine being that way because that's not my instinct. So it's cool to know somebody that is like that.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, learn how I can learn to do that in a way that's, like, beneficial to my friendships and relationships through her. But, you know, still obviously be me with no filter and loud and domineering all the time.
Do you think you're domineering?
Steamroller. Oh, yeah, no, my family calls me. Yeah, my family told me I was a steamroller when I was little, so I'll keep talking, and people try to speak up, and I'm just raising my voice and continue to talk. You just steamroll right over them.
That's funny.
What you have to say is not as important. Yeah, that's try to funny. Work on.
Well, I haven't felt that for me yet, so maybe that's because I also do the same thing. So we're probably just competing for who can be the loudest.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely see like the compassion. Like you've been very kind, and you've put up with plenty in the last few days. So. Thanks. I appreciate it.
No, I try to be. I don't know. I just want to be a good person.
I definitely see that. Like, I can tell how important that is to you. And I absolutely
it is.
That.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't feel like I bend over backwards to try to make people like me. Again, as I said, I'm very much like me or don't. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I want to be... more than that, having people like me, I want to be, it's the whole people, you'll never forget, you may not remember what somebody said to you, but you'll remember how they made you feel.
Yes.
And I want to make people feel good. I want to make people feel they can be their authentic selves around me and unapologetic. And I want them to feel like confident and that like their interaction with me was a bright spot in their day. Even if I'm like checking out for bananas at Ralph, you know, I want to be pleasant to the cashier and genuine and, you know, make a dumb joke and make them laugh or something.
Yeah.
But I want to be a bright, I want people to think of me as a person that was a positive person in their life, because I haven't always been that for people.
That's what gross
someone
about,
on Suicide Girls has told me that they, she told me that she used to not come to events because she was scared that I would be there because she thought that I didn't like her. And I didn't really like her, and we didn't really have a lot in common. And because there was something that she had done at one point, and I don't think I even ever told her, but it was something that, like, I got in trouble for at my job because of her. And I kind of, like, I guess I would be kind of, like, rude to her. And when she told me that, I invited her to me, she's like, oh my God, I thought you hated me, and I never came to events because I didn't think you liked me, and I was scared of you. And that hurt me so much to think that I caused another person that kind of pain. And that was like, and that was a long time ago too, but I was like, I don't ever want to make somebody feel that way about themselves. But something that I did will cause somebody to feel so crappy about themselves and not go somewhere. I was like, I don't want to be that kind of person to put that energy out into the universe. Like, I need to be better. I need to do better. So, yeah. So this is, I'm trying to do better. And I'm sure some people, like, if anybody listens, they're like, well, she's still a piece of shit. So I don't know how hard she's trying. But we're all, you know, we're all growing.
They're so like, she's a dick.
You know. I'm sure people think that I am. And again, like me or don't. But I am, I do want, I'm trying to be better. I don't want to be mean to people just to be mean to people. I don't want to make anybody feel, you know, crappy, because that's the worst. Why would you make somebody feel crappy when you can make them feel good? When you can make them feel, you know, I don't know.
No.
Not crappy.
I'm,
my vocabulary is so good.
I'm glad that I met this version of you.
Thank you. I'm glad you met this version of me too.
No,
definitely,
I mean,
it's an upgrade from, you know, past models.
And I don't,
there were some factory recalls on past models. Oh no.
I think that, like, this is all part of growth. Like, this is how you have to grow. Like, you have to realize and be introspective and then have the insight to actually, like, make those changes. And I, that's not, like, an
it's
easy
thing to do.
It's
the actual work.
Yeah.
Doing it is the actual work.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's worth it. And everybody will tell you that it's worth it. I know, like, basically all of my friends right now are going through some kind of similar thing. And, like, kind of everybody that I know is, like, this is, you know, decided to go to therapy or, like, kind of be like, you know what, I should try anxiety. It's affecting my negativity. I should try antidepressants. It's my brain wiring.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But I know a lot of people going through big kind of growth things. And maybe it's because we where we are in our lives, because I think being between 30 and 40 is kind of a place where you do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like a midlife crisis. It's like when you turn 30, you are more who you're going to be for the rest of your life than you ever have been. Your 20s are really for self-discovery and you're getting older and, you know, your brain is still developing until you're 25. And then you have from, like, kind of 25 to 30 to, like, settle into that and, like, thinking how you are. But that's why, like, you know, marriages, if you get married after 30, they're twice as likely to, you're twice as likely to stay married or whatever. And then if you, you know, you get married after 40, your chances of staying together increases more dramatically. You are who you're going to be for the rest of your life. So that being said, I think a lot of my friends are going through the same things I am with, like, evaluating, you know, is this what I want my life to be? Who am I? And finding out things about themselves and then doing the work to have a less miserable existence. Sounds so stupid to put it like that, but, like,
no, not
to
at all.
Not let your mental health affect you going out and doing things and having, you know, opportunities, or, you know, sitting home having a panic attack because that thing sucks. You know, to take control of that, or to, you know, overcome past traumas that made you into a version of yourself that you didn't like, a scared version, or, you know, somebody who didn't want to be in a relationship again ever. Or somebody who was distrustful of people because of being hurt or something. And people are going back to school and discovering what it is they want to be. But it kind of, a lot of people that I know are putting in that work. And one of my friends described it as, like, going to therapy and stuff as, like, you feel, you go to therapy and you feel like you opened yourself up and you're so vulnerable. It's just, you feel like a peeled orange rolling around in the world for a while.
Oh, that's great.
It's
yeah.
So upsetting.
That
really
is so true.
But in the end, you know, kind of regrow your skin and you can, you know, you come out the other side stronger. I feel like I'm still kind of coming out, but I've done, like, a lot of the hardest stuff. You know, I quit my job and I, you know, ended a 13-year relationship, and it's just, it's been a lot, and kind of discovering what I want to do, but it's good to do it. And I feel more whole, and I feel more like me and happier with my existence than I ever have. And I feel like that says to me that I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody should put that work into themselves, because at the end of the day, that's what you have. You have you and your immediate family and your chosen family of friends. But what is important to you and what makes you feel alive and what makes you thrive? And I feel like the people that put in that kind of work are happier. Even if you have to make decisions and hurt somebody else, at the end of the day, you should do what is right for you.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I feel like I have no business talking about this. Like, how to be a better person, because I feel like I'm not. And I feel like, but I don't know.
Well, I don't think you're directing, though. Like, that's the sense that I get from you, though. Like, even just through our conversations in the last few days, like, you don't really
I feel
like
it's a valuable thing for people to do is to look inside themselves and figure out, you know, I don't know. I think anything that helps you get to know yourself and why you are the way that you are and helps you grow as a person can't be bad. That's why, like, people are like, oh, astrology is so stupid. I'm like, I don't necessarily think so, because I think that it helps anything that, or like religion, like, I know a lot of people. Maybe because I live in LA, but I know a lot of people that are like, organized religion is stupid. But I'm like, no, anything that helps you look inside yourself, figure out how to be a better person, how to be kind to others, how to make the most of your very short life here on earth, and how to grow for the better, and how to have an impact on a positive impact on those around you, which is that helps, you know. Religion really helps people, can help people do that. Not always, but it can help and provide direction for somebody and a purpose. And, you know, again, astrology can be that for somebody. The personality test, Enneagram test can be that for somebody, where you see a lot of it is acknowledging your flaws and learning how to not necessarily turn them into strengths, but how to work with them, I guess. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I do.
It doesn't make sense. That's how I feel about it.
And it absolutely
like,
does,
when people are like, oh, I believe in this, I'm like, you can believe in whatever you want, and if that makes you the best version of yourself, or that inspires you to be the best version of yourself, by all means, then do it.
Well, I mean, just to simplify it even, like, there's nothing wrong with being good, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with being good, and at the end of the day, you'll be you and others.
Yeah.
You know, can only benefit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Well, shit. I told you I'd only keep you an hour.
That's okay. We went off.
Yeah. We're coming up on 2.
Oh my God, it's been like 2 hours. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Actually, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I feel like, it's just so nice to talk to somebody that like genuinely sees the world the same way as I do. Like, it's such a rare thing.
Yeah.
And,
I'm glad. It's the same. I love
it's really cool. Yeah.
People who are feel the same.
Yeah. No, I just really appreciate you, answering my message and like agreeing to do this and stuff and being so open. Like, I can't thank you enough for that.
Well, thank you for asking me. It's been awesome to get to know you, and, you know, again, somebody who thinks like I do.
Yeah. And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.